Hey y'all, let's look at Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 1. And he left there and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan, and crowds gathered to him again. And again, as was his custom, he taught them. And Pharisees came up, and in order to test him, asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" He said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." And in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." So remember that this section continues the central part of the Gospel of Mark, in which Jesus is on his way to the cross and is teaching his disciples what it means to follow him. And remember also that the disciples are proving themselves pretty dull. Of course, we should read ourselves as those disciples, really dull to the teaching of the cross. The fundamental message of the whole section is, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. And Jesus will be applying that idea to various areas of life. Notice also that there's these three passion predictions in there, in which it's emphasized repeatedly that Jesus is determined to take this way of service on the way to the cross. The just prior section, Jesus had given a passion prediction, and then he taught after the disciples were arguing over who's the greatest, how to do life together, how the teaching of taking up your cross applies to living with other Christians. And basically he says you need to consider others more important than yourselves. That's what the cross will do in that context. So in this next section, starting with our section today, Jesus applies the cross to marriage, then he will apply it to children, and finally he will apply it to possessions. But again, all of this is about what it means to follow Jesus, how we kind of resist that, the implications of that, and Jesus applying that to various areas. So the Pharisees come, and again, Jesus is now in Judea. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's near probably Jericho. And the Pharisees come, and it says they asked him a question to test him. Once again, that theme of testing should remind us of the Exodus and Israel in the wilderness putting God to the test. So again, we're in that wilderness context. Well, Jesus answers their question with a question and says, "What did Moses say?" Now we have to keep in mind that for the Pharisees, Moses was preeminent. He was the absolute authority. He was almost revered. It's almost as if he was revered as semi-divine, but certainly he's the most prominent authority. And Jesus is doing something very radical here. They say, "Well, Moses allowed this. He allowed us to write a certificate of divorce and send wives away." Well, Jesus now sort of does something radical. He recognizes that Moses had some authority, but he says, "But you need to understand that God did that because of your hardness of heart. God did it as a concession. He did it as a compromise, not because that's his ideal." So one thing Jesus is opening up here is that as Christians, we shouldn't be looking for what's allowed. That shouldn't be our primary question. Is this allowed? Am I allowed to do this? Our primary question should be, what was God's design from the beginning? So Jesus says, look, that was never God's ultimate intention. God's ultimate intention was never divorce. His ultimate intention was that marriage would be a permanent sign of two people's radical commitment, a man and a woman's radical commitment to love one another until death. And divorce is a concession for hardness of heart. And so Jesus comes preaching the kingdom, and the message of the kingdom is essentially this. I would maybe paraphrase it in our context as God providing through Jesus the new possibility of living according to God's original intentions for mankind. So again, notice how it respects Moses, but it says that much of what Moses gave was provisional. It was temporary. But now that the kingdom's come, we need to go back to Genesis and see what God's ultimate intentions for all kinds of things were, marriage, children, and other things. Another thing to note about what Jesus says here is that the Mosaic custom sort of privileges man. It was an allowance for a man to be able to divorce his wife, but not vice versa. And so Jesus' teaching also elevates women. It puts them on an equal grounding with men in terms of their obligations before God. Another thing I want to point out about this section is this curious phrase that comes up again in verse 10, and in the house. If you've noticed in this section of Mark, this phrase, in the house, occurs repeatedly. And it occurs in places like, if they're in Judea, what house? It doesn't specify what house. When Jesus was in the region of Tyre and Sidon and he spoke with the Syrophoenician woman, it said, in the house. What house? This is, I think, Mark's way of indicating discipleship, the church, the teaching of the kingdom of God and the teaching of the cross being brought into our space where we live and applied there. So I think in Mark, this is kind of code for or a reference to disciples of Jesus Christ don't just publicly hear messages about him and the kingdom, but he goes with them into their private spaces and unpacks for them what it means to follow him, what it means to enter the kingdom and take up the cross. So again, this is a good example of that. Jesus takes the message of the kingdom and the message of taking up your cross and applies it to marriage. So a few comments then just generally about this theme. Again, marriage and divorce is a very important biblical theme. And the gospel has told us that Jesus is the bridegroom of Israel. So what might what he's teaching here say? Well, Jesus was not exercising the Mosaic allowance to divorce his wife, and he had grounds to do so. Jesus is the bridegroom of Israel, and Israel from the beginning has been an adulteress, and Jesus would have had many occasions to divorce Israel, but instead of divorcing Israel, he is giving himself in the ultimate sacrifice to restore her and to win her. She has been, we might put it this way, the most difficult bride in all of history, but he's not exercising his right. He's taking up his cross in order to die for her and redeem her. And he's saying, listen, if you're going to follow me, you need to do the same for your wives. And again, wives for husbands. So we follow our Lord because he died for his bride and didn't exercise his right, but gave himself to his obligations and duties to her, and he's calling us to do the same. He's calling us to give ourselves sacrificially for the good of the person we're married to, regardless of their side of things. He's calling us to follow him in that way and giving us the resources to do so. Again, that's the promise of the kingdom, is giving us the resources to take up the cross in that way, the way of self-denial, the way of humility, the way of service. So again, I think we need to hear all of this as not, man, Jesus is bringing some heavy rules. No, Jesus is bringing the grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit for his people to be able to live in the way that God originally intended us to live. So may God soften our hearts by the Holy Spirit. May we receive his grace to take up our cross, and whether it's in marriage or parenting or any other thing, use that grace, grow in that grace, to be those who give ourselves in humble service for the benefit of others, regardless of how they treat us. Amen.